little bit more, if I had a little bit more experience, I probably would have also asked the Lord to help me with my message. So I'm going to do that now. Father, we do thank you, O God, for the privilege, O Lord, of being able to share your word with the fellow saints. God, we do pray, O God, that even as I look into your word, we ask you, O God, for your guidance, and that in everything that I say or do, O Father, will come from your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians, the book of Revelation. I'm going to look at Revelation chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 10 to 20. We'll then go to Revelation chapter 2. Make it from verse 9 to 20. Revelation chapter 1, and I'll start from verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice and spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded around the chest with a golden band. His head was like white wool. I reword that. His hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like the flame of fire. His feet were like brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was like many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you see are in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, it's quite a bit of reading, but it's very precious. The message is to the seven churches at that time that were in the Asia Minor province. And we see here that the Apostle John, the last surviving apostle, he was exiled and there are other barren, refuse-laden islands on Patmos. However, John stood up with his responsibility in preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Yes, he was a leader in that time. Many of the other apostles had been martyred. Many of them were martyred for the gospel of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Now, The church was still in its infancy. The church had begun to feel the effect of persecution from the authorities led by Satan. But we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we see here that, yes, other apostles had been martyred. Again, as I mentioned, but at the same time, the Lord's work must go on. Now, the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the first day when he received the revelation from God in the person of Jesus Christ himself. And in the visions, we saw from verse 13 to 17 that it was a message to be sent to seven churches. These churches were in Asia Minor, and as I mentioned, and they had warning with instructions, but it had hope. As I said, the messages had warning, it had instructions, but it had hope. Yes, John was told to rise to our risen Lord and to write. He were to write the things which you have seen. There are many things that the experiences that they had, and we can imagine so many things that they had seen. We can think of the number of people that were killed because of their testimony for Christ. But we also can think of the visions of the risen Christ that they had. We can also think of the things which are, speaking of the letters to the churches. And we also think of the presence of the Son of Man who was in the midst of some of them. In John's vision, he also saw the seven golden lampstands, which are the angels or God's messengers. So it's important to remember the experience that they had. Now, the number seven signifies perfection. It signifies completion. The seven churches are representative of the body with born-again believers in Christ, not only in Asia Minor. And as I said, we saw them in various areas. I'll repeat them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, you had Thyatira, you had Sardis, you had Philadelphia. And also, we also saw that there was the Asia Minor group, or Turkey, is known as Turkey today. Now, there were commendable spiritual victories. Yes, there are many commendable spiritual victories accomplished by the church and these problems that they had, however, were overcome in many cases, as we could see further down in scriptures. Yes, there was spiritual conditions also, problems in the church at the time. Now, the seven letters were sent out, okay? And these were sent by the church leaders in response to the needs that they had. And the description of the spiritual condition was not uncommon to local churches. We have them here. We have them all over. Once we are here, the enemy will try to find a means in which he would make our walk more difficult, make it more challenging. And we've got to understand that we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have to remember that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that we've got to recognize that we are not standing here alone, but we are standing with the Spirit leading and guiding us. And he is powerful. Amen. That has been not only my experience, but the experience of several brothers who have shared this with me in this meeting. Now, the seven letters describe the spiritual conditions common to the local churches then and through the ages. Now, the message embodies commendations. It embodies admonitions. It embodies behavior. It embodies spiritual solutions to the many needs that many had. And The message was also personal. They constituted warning. Warning. And it also had instructions to individual believers. Brothers and sisters, if a brother comes to you to speak to you because they think your walk is awry, please recognize that it's being done in love. Please recognize it's being done for the glory of God. Not to push our chest out, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Please remember also that each message, yes, as I said, was a personal exhortation. Each message can have the saying that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said to the churches. Please understand the importance that the message in this case was delivered by messengers. Yeah, and it was depicted, and these messengers, as I said, were depicted by the seven stars, or these are individual representatives. Now, some of these messages were leaders in the church. Many of them, yes, were elders or other leaders in the church. And they held in their right hand, the information, and not only that, but they made representation of the leadership of the church if some of them were not leaders themselves. And in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, the scripture declares that, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Yes, these were leaders. These were also, some were probably fellow saints of our Lord. Now, can we turn quickly to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1? We start at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write these things, he says, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your work, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not come weary, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But you have that you. But you have, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Say to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God, the paradise of God. Pardon me. Now, we see slightly now to the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was a church that worked hard. The church in Ephesus was a church that labored. It's one that did it patiently. And it was essential for the building the body of Christ. These are people that could not bear those who were evil. They were also alert for false teachers. Yes, they were professing to be followers. These false teachers were professing to be followers of Christ. The church exercised spiritual discernment over those who claimed to be apostles, and they tested them. They preserved their God-given doctrinal purity. These individuals were all done. These things were all done unto the Lord Jesus and not unto self. Yes, these were humble people. They weren't trying to show off. They weren't trying to show themselves, but they were doing this as unto the Lord. In fact, and if we look in verse 6, it says, they hated a certain group of people. These were the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the activities of these individuals. These are individuals that would like to push their chest out. They would like to show that they're big and they're bad. However, we know that even as the Lord spoke, used these individuals, we saw that they were put in their place. Even more so, they became more humble. Well, some of them did. The fourth point was that the fervor and passion of Jesus of Christ and his saints began to become cold. This is sad. This is unfortunate. But yes, it does happen in all churches. Yes, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says, speaking to him, the apostle said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Brothers and sisters, have we left our first love? You know, it has happened to me. And I say this with tears. There are times when I let my Lord down. And there are times when I had to go on my knees and cry unto him. And these were times that made me recognize just how I am in that I let my Lord down. Brothers and sisters, this can happen to any one of us. But it's important that if we fail our Lord, let us not be too proud to bow down. Let us not be too proud to ask for forgiveness, because he's able and just to forgive you and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he did that to me. He had done that to me. Thank God. Yes, that fervor and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, his saints began to become cold, but no, the Lord is able to bring us back. Yes, John 14 verse 21 tells us that he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves, and he who loves me, and he who loved my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Our Lord won't give up on us, brothers and sisters. He won't, because we are his. Because we are his. Yes, we may serve the Lord with the same degree of moral purity, vigor, zeal for truth, and for disciplined service as the Ephesians did. And there is no substitute for the love that the Ephesians had forsaken. Let us remember that the Lord is able to keep us. He's able to keep us. And remember that he's there with us. Yes, there was cases of spiritual apathy. You had coldness in many areas. You had the numbing of one's emotions, which took place in one's passion. Yeah, we see that if we are aware of this coldness, ask yourself, am I saved? Ask yourself if we are saved. Yeah, in Acts chapter 16, verse 21, the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Yes, the apostle Paul answered with Silas, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Brothers and sisters, have you had that experience with an individual? Have you seen somebody who was down, who was just without much desire for the things of the Lord? We can go to them and said, the Lord can help you. The Lord can lift you up. He can give you a hope that's beyond understanding. He is able. He is able. He is able. You see, there are times also when coldness may come in, as in the case of that Philippian jailer. There are times when we may feel down and depressed, but let's remember that the Lord is with us and that we must ask him to give us that strength, that energy, that invigor. We think also in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which said, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, and he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We have a choice. We've got a choice. We can reap everlasting life, or we can reap the flesh. And we know what the flesh does. Yes, the apathy can also be seen when we allow our relationship with God to become like a formula. Yes, we simply try to plug the numbers in. Yes, we simply try, we are oftentimes tempted to do something. We are oftentimes tempted that thing that we are tempted to do was wrong. You know that we are wrong, and we know that we can ask the Lord for forgiveness if you sin. But please remember, there is a thing that we call presumptuous sin. Okay? We cannot sin against the Lord. We cannot sin disrespectfully. Okay? Knowing that we are wrong. Knowing that it's we who sinned. It's we are the ones who sinned. But the Lord is able to forgive us. He's able to forget also. Please remember the blessings that the Lord has given us. Yes. Yes. I remember another portion of scripture. Remember from where thou art fallen. Yes, let's go back to the time and place of departure. Remember the joy. Remember the peace and the satisfaction that you experienced when you walk a walk that's pleasing to the Lord. Let us repent. Let us change our mind regarding our behavior, our thoughts, our attitudes towards earthly things. Let us pray and ask God to lead us. To lead us to that life that we once enjoyed. Yes, let us remember that we must not be deceived. Let us remember, O God, that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows shall reap corruption. He that sows in that manner shall reap corruption, and he that sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. What a difference. Corruption versus everlasting life. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. Brothers and sisters, as born-again believers, we have a wonderful future with the Lord. We have a wonderful hope, and it's our responsibility to make sure that we live up to that hope, and we do this by asking the Lord to take us through our path, our walk, daily, knowing that he's never willing to leave us nor forsake us. May the Lord bless you. Amen.